This is Isaac Benjamin bringing you another episode of Scrubs in the Trenches, the show that brings the perspective of an experienced nurse directly to you. After seeing a little bit of everything within the hospital walls, I want to share my unique and sometimes unconventional opinions with you. And remember, I'm not ever intending to give direct medical or coaching advice, but you might learn a thing or two if you clean out your ears and listen up. I believe holistic healing is far superior to symptom management. And with that, let's buckle up and hold on as we start the show. I want to thank you for joining me on another episode of Scrubs in the Trenches. And today, I want to share what I call the limelight, or a little background information on how I personally lost some of my faith in the traditional / Western medical model. And over time, I've started adopting a more holistic approach that I've personally brought to not only healing my patients at the hospital, but bringing to you as a nurse coach. After being in the medical profession for around 5 years, I, like most people, thought that the traditional, Western medical model that we're used to was the best system for healing people. And this was in 2011, I believe. And even though I rarely needed to see a doctor for myself, if something came up, I would go see my primary care doctor and he would write a script for what seemed to ail me. It was a pretty solid working relationship until I got bitten by 3 deer ticks after doing some yard work. And honestly, I didn't think much about it at the time, being a country boy from Georgia who grew up in the woods. I'd pulled off ticks like my whole life up to this point and never really thought much about it. But this time was definitely different. And I remember, I guess a week maybe after I'd pulled off the deer ticks, like there was a little, bullseye kind of rash. And it wasn't really a bullseye because they were kind of like in a triangle shape. So it kind of blended into each other, but definitely had, the discoloration around the tick bites. And I was in Kroger and I had my grocery cart full of groceries and I just had to drop it. I just couldn't hold, and I lived like a mile away and it was just like, I'm not going to make it. My stomach was just so upset. And I'm like, I have to get out of here right now. And got in the car, got home, barely made it, and just had what I thought was a really, really bad stomach bug. And so I just, was achy, weak, and just kind of, like I said, didn't really think much of the ticks at first. Just kind of, forgot about them, picked them off, took my shower and went on with my life and started just, like I said, had that stomach bug incident and just started just feeling achy and like I had, the flu or something like that. And I was just like, oh man, but it didn't seem to go away. And as time went on, my right wrist began to swell up and just up, just things started adding up. And a dog of mine actually had just gotten diagnosed with ehrlichiosis, which is another tick-borne disease. So I started kind of thinking, I started thinking a tick born disease is something I could be dealing with after, I just wasn't getting better. So finally went and saw my primary care doctor and he looked at my swollen wrist and saw that I had this rash on my leg where I had the tick bite. So he sent off for Lyme, lab work. And even though it wasn't technically a positive result by the CDC, it had IgG41, which is indicative of a spirochete tail, like the end of a bacteria of the quote-unquote Lyme disease, what causes Lyme disease, Borrelia burgdorferia. I'm not sure if I'm saying that even correctly, but, the spirochete that causes what we know as Lyme disease. So it came back and it did have a marker that, I had some sort of spirochete within my blood, even if it's not the one from Connecticut. There's different theories that there's Southern Lyme and these other spirochetes, as every other virus and bacteria out there, they mutate. So anyway, I was, the doctor said site test positive, basically all the symptoms I had, pointed to Lyme and it made sense. So, you know, I got the diagnosis of Lyme pretty cut and dry, in my opinion. But as I moved forward trying to find healing from Lyme disease in the traditional medical model, it got crazier and crazier as time went on. My primary care doctor was very helpful, actually, and I mean, he did give me steroids right at the beginning because of my swollen wrist and because steroids compromises your immune system in the long run. And I've heard this, you know, after the fact, in hindsight, 2020, that you're not supposed to give steroids with Lyme because it just allows it to get entrenched deep into the joints, which I believe is what happened to me. And not just the joints, but heart tissue, brain tissue, you know, the research I've done, Lyme disease, they look like little corkscrews. They like burrow in, they screw in, and apparently they love like the collagen in the joints, and they love the brain tissue, collagen, and just cardiac tissue. They just love these areas, so they just feed off of those minerals that come off of those different cells. But long story short, my primary care doctor gave me about 3 rounds of antibiotics. So the first time he gave me steroids and antibiotics to help with the swelling, and I felt great when I was on the steroids. But like I said, in the long run, you know, once I stopped the steroids, I felt super, super bad. And every time I came off antibiotics, I would get really sick. Like, not just like, oh, maybe it's coming back, like bedridden, like crazy. Like, can't even describe the pulling down that when I was in the sickest of my Lyme, like how it just, it takes you over. But anyway, moving forward, it was, you know, like I knew I had to get some more help. And like I said, my primary care doctor did everything he knew what to do and even went above and beyond what a lot of primary care doctors would do, but kind of was like, I don't think just keep giving you doxycycline over and over is going to really be the best answer. So I found a specialist that was about an hour and a half away. They gave IV antibiotics. They didn't take insurance because insurance doesn't really support, you know, especially at that time, like this type of IV antibiotics for tick infections and things like that just isn't approved by insurance. And but I did, like, had to take it into my own hands. Like, this is, I have to get better. I don't have time. I was trying to start a family, and just a bunch of things just lined up where it was like, I want to just give up and crawl into a ball and die, but I can't. I have too much riding on, you know, I've invested in this marriage, and I got to just keep moving forward. And we're trying to have a family. I can't remember exactly where in the timeline all this was, but once I got Lyme, was when we were trying to start our family. So I'm trying to have a kid, and I mean, a little TMI, but like that was one of the things that made me go to the doctor, because I started having erectile dysfunction out of the blue. Like, well, not out of the blue, because I was sick from this tick disease, but it was just like, wow, you know, we've never had any problems with this before in our marriage or, you know, our relationship. And all of a sudden it's like, it's not wanting to work, and I would get a super tachycardic where my heart rate would just get out of control. And so it was like, you know, I'm 27 maybe. It's like, you know, I'm you know, some people be like, oh, you're just getting older. And it's like at 27, it's like, no, I'm in my prime. If like, you know, this has happened now, I'm not getting older. I'm freaking dying here, you know? So I just had to, you know, go to the doctor, figure out like, hey, what's going on? And just like, I have no choice. I have to get better. So even as a medical professional, as a nurse that at that point, I mean, had 5 years of experience under my belt, like even I had a trouble navigating Lyme disease. And it was just, like I said, at times insane, the things I came across when I was trying to find an infectious disease doctor to give me some help. I mean, it was, like I said, it still kind of blows my mind how he said he would be willing to give me IV antibiotics when I either went into third degree heart block. And so just to give a little background information, there's first degree, second degree, and third degree heart block. First degree is like nothing. It doesn't really cause any problem. There's just a little elongation of like your, from when you're electrical signal starts and when your heart actually pumps. It's just slightly delayed. And then there's two different types of second degree, which always get me confused and backwards. But basically, they kind of just like kind of skip a beat or get a little bit longer, but the electrical pulses before they finally, you know, contract and go. But, you know, you keep an eye on those, but they don't really cause any problem within in themselves. Well, a third degree heart block's when you pretty much have to have a pacemaker, like the electrical signals aren't getting through in your heart and it's kind of just your backup system's pumping the bottom part of your heart and top part of your heart's just kind of just beating along on its own drum. It's not really doing anything that's significant that helps your heart maintain its pumping ability. So this infectious disease doctor said in order for him to be willing to give me IV antibiotics that I'd either have to be in third degree heart block from my Lyme disease or start having seizures. Like, in what world does it make sense that, okay, we're going to let this infection get so bad, and it's not even really, you know, at that time they wouldn't even acknowledge it was there. It's like, oh, and this infection that's not really even there. But if it does actually make you sick enough where, you know, you start seizing or your heart just basically stops working correctly, you know what, then we'll give you IV antibiotics. But not a moment before then. Oh, no, not at second degree, not at Winky Bock when your heart's just kind of skipping a beat, doing its thing. You know, we won't give you IV antibiotics then. But whenever it's third degree and you're requiring a pacemaker or you're just shaking and pooping and peeing yourself, like then, you know what, then we'll consider giving you IV antibiotics. And when I first got Lyme, I was like, okay, I'm just going to stick with the CDC, like, because there's just so much conflicting information about it. And especially at that time, it was, you know, okay, let me just go to the CDC. And I remember even being at work, a guy being like, hey, I heard you got Lyme. Like, you know, that's forever, right? And I was like, nah, I mean, I read the CDC and it said most people don't deal with it after a year. And, you know, I think it, you know, I was on antibiotics at the time and feeling okay. And it's like, you know, I think it'll be all right. And he was just like, I don't know. You know, it's a country boy. He's like, I've known guys got it. And I mean, they never shook it. So, you know, I just kind of brushed it off at the time and just thought, all right, well, I'm just going to stick with the CDC and, you know, see what, you know, and just trust that they know what they're talking about. Well, as time kept going and I kept, you know, like I said, I keep getting off antibiotics and keep getting really sick and didn't really align with what the CDC was saying. And they would say like, oh, if you still have symptoms after it, there's no way that the infection can still be in there. It's post-Lyme syndrome, which is just like an autoimmune disease and your just body's constantly having inflammation. But to me, that just didn't make sense because it's like, why would it keep having inflammation if there's nothing there left? But, you know, I just, you know, finally, I just couldn't accept it anymore and started doing my own research outside of the CDC and eventually came across something called a Doug Coyle Rife machine. And that involves vibrational frequency healing. So it's basically this frequency generator that's hooked up to a big, powerful guitar amp that's hooked up to the actual machine that's just pretty much almost every letter throughout the alphabet that had a switch that correlates with it. So you put on the frequency. So a lot of times I use 432 and it's just the C switch. And then I can turn it on and it vibrates and I can feel it. And it usually makes me tired afterwards. But in theory, it's like it, that frequency shakes the spirochetes and, you know, kills it off. So as I kept moving forward, like I said, I just, things weren't aligning and I was just like desperate and it's like, I just got to feel better. So I tried anything and came across, you know, the Doug Coyle Rife machine and would figure out any way I could get antibiotics. And, you know, until they did eventually close, but, you know, for a while I kept using this, you know, they were called Phoenix Medical Group that would give you IV antibiotics and you had to pay out of pocket. But, you know, to me it was worth it because it made me feel good and gave me my life back. So I just kept trying to figure out different things. And it took me about 2 years before I finally, you know, figured out, and it you know, did take low dose antibiotics like minocycline or doxycycline, but whatever I could do to get a hold of what I felt like I needed to keep me moving forward, to just keep these, you know, bacteria spirochetes at bay, I would do whatever it takes. And speaking of whatever it takes, Physoderna wants to let you know that it's going to do whatever it takes to buy off every member of the CDC. And now let us tell you about the latest products from Physoderna that are not only endorsed by the CDC, but actually pushed by them, and you're an idiot if you don't take them.
Have you heard of the shingles, RSV, pneumonia, COVID, the flu, or how about rabies? What if I told you that we have a series of shots that covers every mild to serious disease that you could think of? Our yearly series only contains 89 shots that are given every other day for approximately 7 months. You can opt out at any time, but as soon as you do, your arms begin to swell up and you have chills until you can't even think straight. Physoderna always wants to keep you safe, even when it's unnecessary.
I want to thank everybody for sticking around that commercial break and listening into this episode of Scrubs in the Trenches. I know I've only skimmed the surface of my personal journey with Lyme and the different ways I've tried to overcome it, but I did want to just kind of, you know, start the process of explaining exactly where I started looking outside of the box in the modern/Western medical model. If my experience with Lyme has taught me anything, it's that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to healing, and that the best healing usually occurs when someone has a medical professional that listens deeply to their problems and tries to find the root cause and reverse that. So if you have any questions or just are curious about how an experienced nurse like myself that has gone through the training of nurse coaching can help you, then check out my website at www.higherreflectioncoaching.com.